Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I'm your host, Kylie Gable, and after taking November off, as is my tradition, I am back with a new recording. In fact, I'm really happy to report I've got like 6 recordings all finished. The shows, not my little before and after bits or any interviews, as well as 2 or 3 that are being worked on as we speak. So it's kind of nice to know that I will not be scrambling to come up with new audio at all until at least February. And that fills me with some hope. I had a great month off, except for bronchitis, which you can kind of hear. It started last week and it's still going strong, but I'm on a Z-Pack and it's starting to go away. I had my birthday. That was fun. And, we're just moving straight ahead, and I'm glad to be back. That month does kind of re-energize me a little bit. The premium podcast got the entire boys of Alpha Theta Nu, and we're going to be back. And this week we have Miss Jen Davis, and she's reading a story I did called The Bad Neighbor. So we haven't heard from Jen in a while. It's great to have her back, and I hope you enjoy.
Bad Neighbor, First Time Feminization, written by Kylie Gable and Victoria Vaughn, narrated by Miss Jen Davis. "You have to be the worst neighbor in this entire apartment complex," yelled Monica. "Deal with it," smirked Duncan. "I will not deal with it. We're all getting tired of your garbage."
"Oh, well," replied Duncan.
"Maybe it's time you find a new place to live," Monica said firmly. "Maybe you should, because I intend to be here for a long time."
"Then you had better watch your back," warned Monica.
"What are you going to do about it?" Duncan asked, raising an eyebrow.
"I'm going to talk to the landlord and make sure that you follow the rules of this complex, or else you're out," Monica said sternly. "No more loud music after 10 p.m. No more loud parties in your apartment all hours of the night. And no more trash on the balcony."
"The landlord is my uncle. Good luck with that."
"I don't need luck," Monica said, crossing her arms. "I just need to make sure that you start showing respect for the other people who have to live near you."
"Were you the girl the teacher always left in charge when she left the room?" mocked Duncan.
"No, but I'm the girl that's going to make sure you follow the rules around here," Monica said confidently. "And if you don't, then be prepared for the consequences."
"I can't wait, Karen," replied Duncan. He chuckled to himself as he made his way back to his own unit.
Monica watched him go and then returned to her own unit. She wasn't a stickler about arbitrary rules, but she was determined to make sure that Duncan learned some respect and common decency, or else he would be out. There had been too many sleepless nights, thanks to his midweek parties that were still going on, when she left for her office in the morning. With a renewed sense of purpose, she went about her day with a smile on her face. The one person she couldn't fool was her best friend Lily. No sooner had she sat down across from her friend at the coffee shop than Lily asked her what was wrong.
"Duncan is being a jerk," Monica said, sighing. "He's making life in the apartment complex tough, and it's getting out of hand." Lily nodded in understanding. She knew how frustrating it could be dealing with someone like Duncan.
"Well, don't worry," she said reassuringly. "You'll figure out a way to make him follow the rules, or else he'll have to find somewhere else to live." Monica smiled gratefully at her friend and thanked her for the encouragement. She was determined to make sure that Duncan would be tolerable to live nearby. If she couldn't do that, she was determined to make him leave.
"Does Duncan bother you?" asked Monica.
"Sometimes," Lily replied, "but I try to stay out of it and let you handle it. He's your neighbor, after all." Monica nodded in agreement. She knew that she was the one who had to take charge here and make sure that Duncan followed the rules of their apartment building, or else he would have to find somewhere else to live. I should talk to Bailey and Nora. They're on the other side of him. Lily nodded. That's a good idea, she said. Maybe they can help you keep an eye on him and make sure he follows the rules. Monica smiled and thanked her friend for the suggestion. With renewed determination, she knew that if everyone worked together, they could get Duncan to follow the rules of their apartment building once and for all. Monica called the first meeting of the Keep Duncan in Line Club in her unit at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. In attendance were Bailey, Nora, Monica, and Lily. Monica explained her plan to keep Duncan in line, and others agreed that it was a good idea. They all decided to take turns keeping an eye on him and reporting any rule-breaking behavior back to Monica. At the end of the meeting, Monica thanked everyone for their help and told them she'd keep them informed if anything changed. As they left, Bailey said, "We'll get him. He won't know what hit him." Monica smiled as she watched her friends walk away. She knew that with their help, she could make sure Duncan followed the rules of their apartment building, or else he would have to find somewhere else to live. Duncan continued to have loud guests at all hours of the night, hit on all the women in the building, play his guitar loud at all hours, and keep his apartment smelling like a cross between a sewage treatment plant and a fish market. The women all did a great job of reporting every infraction, but just like Duncan had warned Uncle Mike, the landlord ignored all complaints. Finally, after months of complaining and trying to get him to follow the rules, Monica had enough. She got together with her friends one last time and decided that it was time for drastic measures. They all agreed to go over to Duncan's apartment building late at night and make sure he knew they meant business. When they arrived, Duncan opened the door with a smirk on his face, expecting them to just talk about what he should do differently. He was surprised when everyone started yelling at him in unison about how unacceptable his behavior was. Having had enough, Duncan tried to push the angry women out of his apartment. Unfortunately for him, there was a huge accumulation of unopened mail on the floor that had been dropped through the mail slot. As he was pushing Bailey out of the front door, his foot slid on a timeshare offer and he wiped out, landing face first. Bailey wasted no time in grabbing the sash from Duncan's discarded bathrobe, which was slung over the arm of his couch. She quickly tied his hands and feet together, and the group proceeded to lecture him on the importance of following the rules. "What are you doing? I'll have you all thrown out of this," barked Duncan. Nora shoved Duncan's own dirty socks in his mouth and said, "No, you won't. We're here to make sure you understand that you can't just do whatever you want. You have to respect the rules and follow them. We won't tolerate any more of your nonsense." By this time, Lily had grabbed the duct tape and proceeded to tape Duncan's mouth shut. The girls couldn't resist looking around his apartment, and what they found was disturbing. Really sleazy porn, books on picking up women, some weird products promoting penis growth, and a pile of empty beer cans. The girls were disgusted, even as they found whatever clean furniture they could and began to discuss what to do with their bad neighbor. "He's such a disgusting pig," said Nora. "Yeah," agreed Monica. "Maybe I was naive, but I never knew it was this bad." "He needs to learn a lesson," agreed Lily. "I agree, but what?" asked Monica. "Well, in college we had a guy like Duncan, and we made him a girl. A sissy slave, actually."
"No way!" exclaimed Nora, as the whole room exploded in laughter.
"Why not?" asked Bailey. "It worked for us, and it might work for Duncan, too."
"It's worth a try," said Lily. "It might be the only way to get him to learn his lesson."
"Let's do it," said Monica. "We'll make him our sissy slave and teach him a lesson he won't forget."
And make him wear a dress, added Bailey.
And make him do chores around the house, said Lily.
And make him do all the embarrassing things we can think of, said Monica.
Yes, that's it, exclaimed Nora. Let's do it.
The four women had been planning it for weeks, ever since their new, disobedient Sissy arrived at their home. Finally, the day had come to take him shopping and teach him a lesson. They chose the mall lingerie store as his first outing, knowing that he would be embarrassed beyond belief when they made him try on different lingerie items in front of everyone. When they arrived at the store, they immediately marched over to the section with frilly panties and bras. The Sissy was horrified, but remained obediently silent as each woman took turns selecting pieces for him to try on. He blushed furiously as he stepped into one skimpy pair of panties after another, or struggled with trying to fasten a tiny bra around himself. The women found it amusing to watch him squirm as he tried on each item, and they laughed at how ridiculous he looked in the lingerie. Next, it was time to buy him several pairs of appropriate shoes, and then the four women headed to the shoe store. The Sissy was made to try on every pair of high-heeled shoes and boots in the store. Walking up and down the aisles as the women clucked approvingly at each pair, after a few more hours of humiliation, the Sissy had several pairs of new shoes. It was starting to get late, but they hadn't even looked for dresses. The girls decided they preferred a sexy look for Duncan to the frilly look a lot of Sissies wore. They wanted club wear and tight bodycon minis that could accentuate his curves and emphasize his femininity. After scouring the store, they had a handful of dresses and skirts to choose from. The Sissy was a bit hesitant to try them on, but the women assured him that he had no choice. He reluctantly tried on each item, blushing furiously as he emerged from the dressing rooms, wearing each one. Their favorite was a tight black mini dress that showed off all his curves and made him look both feminine and sexy. They even picked up the ultimate French-made outfit for him, complete with a skimpy black halter top and white apron. It was the perfect outfit for such a pig. Finally, they ordered Duncan to sit down in a chair in the Macy's makeup department. A pretty young employee asked if she could help them. The women laughed and told her that they were there to teach their Sissy a lesson and asked her to put makeup on him. The Sissy was horrified, but the women were relentless, and soon he found himself sitting in a chair with the women delicately applying blush, eyeshadow, and lipstick to his face. He looked in the mirror when she was done and saw a beautiful woman looking back at him. The four women were satisfied with their day's work and headed home, leaving the Sissy with a full wardrobe of lingerie and dresses, a handful of sexy shoes, and a face full of makeup. Duncan was embarrassed and humiliated, but he knew that his humiliation had finally come to an end, or so he thought. As Duncan tried to get into Monica's car, Bailey stopped him. "Where do you think you're going, Sissy?" Nora handed Duncan a handful of change and told him to take the bus before driving off. Duncan couldn't decide if it would be worse to get on the bus as a man with a full face of makeup or to change into his new clothes. He decided that the latter was his only option and quickly changed into some of his new lingerie and a bright red mini dress. He was embarrassed to be wearing the skimpy items, but he couldn't walk all the way home in those shoes, so he had no choice but to face his fears.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Kylie got an email from Spotify last month warning him about adult content on the podcast. For now, there is no problem, but we do have to be careful about what we put on the free podcast so that we can stay podcasting. Scenes that might have been allowed before might be a bit dangerous for us. It's one of the reasons that the premium podcast is so important, Because you subscribe to listen, we don't have to worry about content limits, so we can include much more titillating scenes. Premium subscribers get the entire audio, and not just a clip. That includes all the good parts, and the shows don't just disappear when we're done with them. There's something like 30 hours of content in the archives accessible when you subscribe. It's $15 a month, and we know that's not in everybody's budget, but if you're interested, check out the Premium Feminization Boudoir on Spotify, or check out the link in this show's description.
As he stepped onto the bus, he couldn't help but notice the looks of surprise from the other passengers. Duncan realized that he was going to have to get used to the stares and whispers, but nobody said anything to him. He just stared straight ahead, thankful that there was nobody to harass him. When he got to his place, he realized the women were already there. He was pissed, but had no power to do anything about it. When he opened the door, Monica yelled out, "He's here! It's fashion show time!" Duncan was forced to parade around his home in all the lingerie and dresses the women had bought him. His face was still full of makeup, and he was embarrassed beyond belief. The women laughed and clapped and cheered him on as he showed off his new wardrobe. Bailey put on some music, and they made Duncan dance dressed only in a cranberry-colored baby doll and heels that were way too tall for him. He stumbled and almost fell several times, but managed to stay standing until the song ended. The women applauded and praised him, but Bailey had stopped to pick up some bondage supplies while Duncan took the bus home, and she was determined to keep him out of trouble. They made him climb into a sleeping bag and tied him up. Then they watched a movie and laughed as he squirmed and tried to break free. In the morning, Duncan was still securely tied when the women got there bright and early. He looked up from the sleeping bag to see four women, determined to turn his hovel into an apartment for a princess, a very feminine princess. The women set about painting the walls a soft pink and hung up frilly curtains. They found a beautiful white vanity for him to do his makeup in, and a white bed with sheer pink curtains. They even brought in a white chaise lounge and several decorative pillows. Finally, they all stepped back to admire their work. Duncan, who had been watching in amazement all morning, knew he had to be on his best behavior, but couldn't help cursing them out. The women just laughed, and the sissy realized that he was in for a long and embarrassing lesson in obedience. "Maybe you should try out your new chair," said Monica, pulling a white and pink rocking chair over. The chair had leather restraints at the wrists, chest, and ankles. There was a large black dildo mounted into the seat. Duncan shook his head no, but the women were determined. They each grabbed one of his limbs and forced him into the chair. He struggled, but his efforts were futile, as the leather restraints kept him securely in place. The women laughed and joked as they watched him squirm and try to escape. After a few minutes, they turned on the dildo, and it began to vibrate inside Duncan as he groaned in embarrassment and pleasure. Finally, after what seemed like hours, the women released him from the chair. But before he could escape, they informed him that he would be spending the next few days in his new frilly apartment, and that he was not to leave unless they told him to, or else he would be punished severely. Lily was put in charge of Duncan's hair. She decided that he would look amazing with platinum blonde hair and extensions. Once she had the right color and volume, Lily began by sectioning Duncan's hair into four parts. She then took a small amount of hair from the front section and tied it off with an elastic band. She then took a thinning shear and cut the hair in the back section to about a half inch in length. Next, she took a curling iron and curled the hair in the back section. Next, she took a comb and separated the hair into two sections. She took a small amount of hair from the back section and tied it off with an elastic band before taking a thinning shear and cutting the hair in the front section to about 1/2 inch in length. Finally, taking a curling iron, she curled the hair in the front section. She took a brush and blended the hair in the front and back sections, leaving Duncan the perfect feminine style. Monica was in charge of teaching Duncan how to do his makeup. He might have been an unwilling sissy maid, but there was no reason he couldn't learn to be good at it. She didn't want to overly complicate things in the beginning. She only showed him the basics. Foundation, concealer, blush, brow pencil, and mascara. She also gave him a few pointers on how to blend the products to achieve the perfect look. She ultimately wanted to get him to the point where he could try out more complex looks, but that would be something they could build up to. Within a week, Duncan was competent enough to start practicing on his own, and Monica insisted that he do his best to learn. She was happy to continue giving him tips and advice whenever he needed them. She even helped him to find products that would work with his particular skin type and color. Duncan began to get more confident with his makeup skills. He was able to create flawless looks without Monica's help. She began to have him experiment with more adventurous looks. Monica loved the progress he was making, and though he wasn't quite up to their level, he was becoming a very competent makeup artist. Of course, during the day, Duncan wore one of several French maid outfits, but the rest of the time he would need dresses and other outfits to wear. Nora was given the job of clothes shopping with Duncan. He was a size 12, which made it easy to find things that would fit him. As the other women did, she decided she wanted outfits that made him look like a sexy young woman, not a sissy. She made him take $500 from the bank, and that was her budget. Nora and Duncan went to several stores and ended up buying a variety of dresses, skirts, blouses, coats, and even some lingerie. Nora found a few items that were on sale and were able to stretch the budget a bit. She wanted to find pieces that were flattering and feminine, but still appropriate for a night out. Duncan ended up picking out a cute baby doll dress with a mauve color and lace trim, a white blouse with a flowy skirt, and a black dress with an empire waist. She also found him some basic pieces like cardigans and tights. In the end, Duncan had a nice selection of outfits for his new job. Duncan was humiliated and terrified, but he knew he had no choice but to obey. He spent the next few days in his new apartment, very aware of the women's eyes watching him as he moved around. He was finally allowed to leave after a week, but he was never quite sure if they were watching him or not.
That was Jen Davis reading The Bad Neighbor by myself, and I forgot earlier, Victoria Vaughn helped me with this one. In fact, it was one of the first stories that she helped me with, and she got a co-writer credit. She's moved on to writing a lot of stories on her own. If you like my type of story, you'll like hers, except hers tend to be longer. I generally write about 6,000-word stories, and she's somewhere between 10 and 20,000. So her books are a lot longer than mine for about the same price. So if you're a reader, definitely check her out. And sorry for forgetting her, especially because it was one of the first books she's helped me with. So, like I said before, it's wonderful to be back. Next week, I think we're going to have a story from Mistress DJ. And I have a lot of short stories, which is great for the premium podcast. Because I always want to make sure that you get, you know, a nice chunk that, you know, isn't available on the freebie. So in addition to getting the complete story, there are a lot of 10 and 15 minute audios, even I think a 30 minute audio floating around that I will be putting on the premium. So I will be back next week. I hope you will be too. Have a great week. Bye-bye.